She made the choice to love. Just like Jesus made the choice to love us. He could have left us to our devices. This world was not a friendly place for him. He was not received well. He was born in a hostile environment. He became a refugee in Egypt for a time. His life was under threat. He took on exceptional limits. He was willing to suffer the confines of space and time. He was willing to subject himself to poverty, abuse, rejection, isolation. He was even willing to die on a cruel cross. No one took his life from him. He laid it down on his own because it was his choice to love. And he gives us that choice too. Do you love me? Not you will love me, but do you love me? And love is vulnerable. It's risky. It demands engagement. To be a Christian is not about a certain political viewpoint. It's not about a certain set of rules and practices. It's not about being a good enough person. To be a Christian is to enter into a personal, exposed, emotional, engaged relationship with Jesus Christ. You care about what he cares about. Your life is surrendered to him. He speaks significantly into who you are and what you do. It means there are ups and downs in this relationship. There are growing pains. It means that Jesus has the right to be himself in the relationship. He's not there to be someone you use, someone who is just at your beck and call. He's there to be himself, and he invites you to honestly be yourself. And some of you are afraid to be honest with him. In fact, you're afraid to be honest with anyone. You have too many secrets, too many hurts, too much shame. You're afraid that if you really get honest and real, you're going to be rejected. I think that's what Peter probably had some of that. He had failed miserably. But Jesus invites him to take the risk, to make the choice, to say the words that are so difficult for many of us to say, "You know that I love you." But as Peter said those words, he was able to receive all that love that Jesus had for him. He opened the doors and the floodgates of Jesus' love poured in. Jesus wanted to give Peter the chance to make right what he had made wrong a few days earlier. This would have done significant things in Peter's heart. It would have taken away the shame of his past actions. It would have filled him with a renewed desire to live out his intent to love Jesus. It would have reinstated him in his position as a disciple of Jesus. But Jesus isn't quite done yet. He's shown his love to Peter. He's invited Peter to speak his love back to him. But he asks for more. He lays out a request to Peter three times: "Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep." Love is more than nice words. Love is a verb. Love demands action. This action is not to earn love. We've already said that. It's not to earn love. And we have to be very careful that we get that distinction right. As I said earlier, we can never earn the love of God. It has been freely and unconditionally given. Action simply confirms that love is there. That's what action does. It just confirms that love is there. I don't think I've ever experienced heat like I did in Cambodia. This is a picture I took in Cambodia there. And sometimes more than 35 degrees, 97% humidity. Man, it was a force to be reckoned with in Southeast Asia. And yet, despite that heat, Paul and Chantal and Darren and Minico have chosen to live and serve there. We were just there for a few days. They were there day after day after day. They're Canadians just like you and me. They had good jobs in Calgary and Red Deer, and yet their love for Christ and the people Christ loved transformed them and resulted in action. That's the same with God. The Bible teaches that God so loved the world that he gave. His love portrayed itself in action. He loved the world that he gave, his only son. How can our love be any different? If we say we love Jesus, but it isn't reflected anywhere in our lives, do we love Jesus? For Peter, the focus and response of his love was very clear. He was to care for the people who would follow Jesus. He was to care for the sheep who would call Jesus their good shepherd. He was to care for the church. Following Jesus and loving Jesus means accepting responsibility for Jesus' people. Bruce Milne writes, Jesus Christ is not a single person in the sense that he comes to us without an other attachment. He is a married person. He comes to us with a bride whom he loves and for whom he sacrificed himself. To be in relationship with Christ while ignoring or even despising his bride is no more acceptable than such behavior would be in a human context when relating to a married friend. Genuine conversion means not only turning to and accepting Jesus, it also means turning to and accepting his bride, the church. Jesus' love for his church remains undiminished even though the church be torn, ill-clad, dirty in places, and generally malnourished and diseased. The church is still his bride, the people for whom he died, and who are therefore the burden of his concerns. So he speaks his word today to those who hear it. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. If you love Jesus, it's his desire that you also love and care for his sheep. Now you might be wondering, how in the world are you supposed to do that? I mean, isn't that supposed to be my job? Isn't that what the pastor does? I was talking with one of our Muslim cab drivers in Lombok. Now, we could hear the call to prayer from one of the minarets, and he was explaining a little of what was going on. He said that the holy man was reading from the Quran and then teaching the people the things of Allah. I told him that I was actually a holy man in that Christian church in Canada. And he said, when you are a holy man, everyone respects you. What the holy man says, everyone will do. And I thought, I guess I'm not a holy man then. Anyway, while with Jesus, we're all priests. We're all called to care for the flock in some way. So yes, it is my job, but it is also all of our jobs. We have different ways and capacities to care for the sheep, but here are several ways that I think we can all care for the sheep, the flock. You can pray. People always need prayer. We are told to always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Some people are going through the trial of their lives, and they need prayer. You're caring for the flock when you pray. You can serve. You can lead or host a small group. You can greet and welcome on Sundays. You can play an instrument. You can teach or help out in our kids' ministry. There's lots of ways that you can serve, and you are caring for the flock when you serve. You can mentor. You can find someone who is newer to the faith than you are and help them get to know Jesus like you do. And they don't, I mean, you can have someone who's just behind you in your faith and you can mentor them. You don't have to be a Christian very long before you can mentor somebody else. Pastor Christie was telling me that there are a lot of brand new believers that need someone to help them to understand who Jesus is and how to read their Bible and how to pray. You're caring for the flock when you mentor. You can share. Some people have fallen on hard times. They're struggling to make ends meet. They're in difficult financial situations. You can give out of the excess of what you have to help them in their trouble. You care for the flock when you share. And you can encourage. We all need to be lifted up and inspired. This life is hard. The Christian life can even be harder. We need each other to cheer each other on. We are told to encourage each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We need to listen to each other, to take the time to slow down enough to really hear what another person is going through. You are caring for the flock when you encourage. So as we come to the end of the series, my question is, where are you at with Jesus? Are you kind of at arm's length from him? Are you keeping a safe distance, not letting him get too close, not opening your heart too much? Are you ready to take a step towards him? to quiet the noise, to thin out the crowd, to get alone with Jesus, to expose your heart to him. He loves you so much. He wants that one-on-one time with you. I love it that each of the encounters with Jesus that we've looked at are unique and different. Jesus is not a system. He's not a program or an app that runs the same with every user. He's an individual, and he responds to individuals in individual and unique ways. You were created uniquely. There is no one like you. And Jesus wants to relate to you specifically for who you are. But you can only experience his personal interaction if you take the risk to choose to love, to choose him. He wants one-on-one time with you. Will you step into one-on-one time with him? Let's close our time together in prayer. I want to spend time listening to Jesus together. He may have something he wants to say to you in this quiet moment of one-on-one. This is what's happening right now. We're in a group together, but we're listening individually. And Jesus is infinite, so he can speak to each one of our hearts today. And you may say, ah, yeah, I'm sure there's others in the room Jesus would like to talk to, but probably not me. Well, that's not true. He wants to speak to you today. So I just ask that you would quiet your heart and say, Jesus, is there something you want to say to me? Then listen to see if there is. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we quiet ourselves before you. We know that we don't deserve to have you interested in us, to have you speak to us, to have you care about us. We haven't done anything to deserve that. But we also know that you said that that's how you feel. You are very interested in us. You love us deeply. And so, Jesus, as this is your space, you alone, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you'd silence the voice of the enemy, any other voice to distract. And we pray, Jesus, that you would speak to our hearts, to each one who is really listening to you today. I pray that you would speak to their heart through a word, scripture, through an impression in their heart, through a picture that you might give them. Speak to them of your deep love for them and anything else you want to say. Lord Jesus, we're listening. And as we're here in this presence of Jesus, maybe a question you want to consider in his presence is, what is keeping you from stepping into one-on-one time with Jesus? What's getting in your way of that? Maybe you feel there's just too much shame in your life. You've done too many bad things. To really open yourself up to Jesus. What does he want to say to you about that? Maybe as you're sitting there, you hear his invitation to draw close to him like you never have before. You just hear it. He's calling you to come closer than you ever have before. How do you want to respond to that? Lord, I thank you for these one-on-one encounters we've been able to look at. And I thank you for, if they've shown us anything, they showed us that you reach out to all kinds of people, all across the spectrum, rich and poor, women and men, old and young. You come with love in your eyes. You come with intentionality, with discernment. You know what the person needs to hear and you speak it. Lord, I'm confident that you see each one here in the room today too. You know what we need to hear. It's different. What you want to say to me is different than what you want to say to somebody else. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be attentive to you. Help us to put aside the busyness of our world. That's one of the big excuses. I'm just too busy. And we miss all these fantastic one-on-one moments with you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to say no to other things so we can say yes to you. No to other distractions. No to other busyness. No to more work. So we can say yes to you. Yes to being quiet with you. Yes to hearing from you. Yes to reading your word. And that we would be people who would be known, would be marked by one-on-one time with you. I think of the disciples and everybody was amazed and they said, these guys are just normal men, but they've spent time with Jesus. That's the difference. And Lord, would we be in this town noted as people who just, they spend time with Jesus. They're different. Help me to do that. Help us to do that. That's where life is. You are the oasis that our thirsty, tired souls are longing for. Help us to drink deep of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.